Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. It's podcast number 15, February 16th, 2006. I'll be joined by Steve Falb, my co-host. We're produced by David Tapia. Desiree will join us later on in the program. Steve?
This F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by the Firefox web browser. The innovative Firefox browser makes surfing the web faster and safer. With the included Google toolbar, features like autofill, spell check, pop-up blocking, and tab browsing, it will make your internet browsing more convenient. Together, they'll change the way you use the internet for free. Just click on the Firefox button on our homepage, f1weekly.com.
Keep up the good work, Steve. I like it. So what'd you think about what Max Mosley brought up in the last couple of days about his new ideas for the future of Formula One?
He said one really bad one and one actually not a kind of a good one.
Yeah, I liked it too. Let's refresh our listeners' memory on the last one, which was the deadline in March for the manufacturers to get on board and sign the Concorde Agreement, and they're only going to have 10 days to make that decision. But this week, he came up with a very interesting concept where everybody could run any style or any motor they wish to run, being V8, V12, V10,
V6.
H16s. The only stipulation is they would have to only be allotted a certain amount of fuel. Yep. Every team would have the same amount of fuel.
Fuel limits.
And it would be how they efficiently use that fuel in their motor to run the race weekend and win.
That would add an aspect to strategy, definitely.
I think so. I think it's very interesting.
Which would be very interesting. I don't remember who it was. I remember that there used to be one of the American racing circuits where they were, maybe it was IRL.
I can't remember.
Where they only had X number of gallons of gas to run the entire race, and so fuel consumption and economy was very important in the race. And I remember seeing more than one race where the leader's going down the back straight and runs out of gas.
Yeah, well, and that's where you really have to manage your race. You can't be flat out all the time. You have to pace yourself. And actually, the single tire rule of 2005 really sort of went in that direction where you had to really pace yourself and not go bonkers. And the smoother drivers had more rubber towards the end of the race.
Right.
And also the car that was set up in a manner that did not abuse the tires. I think the McLarens were obviously set up last year where the tires would get abused, but luckily they had Michelins, and the Michelins seemed to last just that much better. But I also want to read a little bit about Max Mosley and maybe tell our listeners where he comes from.
Enlighten our listeners a bit.
Well, he's a very interesting fellow, and I know that I'm on his butt all the time, and I do admit to my listeners that he does get me all flustered up sometimes, but he is a very interesting person. Let me tell you a little bit about him. It's Max Rufus Mosley, currently serving his third term as president of the Fédération Internationale de l'Automobile. Mosley is the son of the British fascist leader Sir Oswald Mosley and Diana Mitford. He attended Christ Church in Oxford, graduating with a degree in physics in 1961. He studied law at Gray's Inn in London and qualified as a solicitor in 64. He raced throughout 1960s for the London Racing Team, and later with Frank Williams' Formula 2 team, he retired from driving in 69 and went to Formula 1 car production, meeting with little success. In the early 70s, he became involved with FOCA, Formula 1 Constructors Association, a union of teams created to defend the team's rights and maintain their collective control. In 77, he officially withdrew from constructing and became a legal advisor to FOCA. FOCA turned into Visa, and FISA, F1 Commission, which later became FIA, of which Mosley is currently the president. So he's been around, he's raced, he was the M in the March team that won two races, I think one in 75 and one in 76. Very interesting fellow, and enough of Max. Max, I don't know why he's been in the limelight lately, but...
I heard somewhere somebody mentioned that it could be a way that he's actually doing that to kind of get F1 in the news and get some publicity
for
the sport and for the FIA as mm-hmm. a whole.
But anyway, bravo to his new idea. I like it. We'll see what happens. Okay, let's get to Valencia, Spain. Lots of testing. Williams, they were on top. Kovalainen did lots of miles for Renault. He was on top. The McLarens looked a lot better today. I think they were third and fourth. No, fourth. No.
Ooh. Actually, I've got them right here.
At the end?
Renault, Montoya, Fisichella, Raikkonen, Coulthard, Nico and Wurz in the Williams, and then Aubers and Stuhl in the Midlands. 7-8 seconds separating the teams front to back. I also had a little bit of, it looks like Montoya's day ended early as he stopped at the track and was unable to continue.
Why?
No details.
No specifics?
No. The car died again.
Yeah, well, they've been having trouble. But Renault is beginning their 3-day test. They're putting on a lot of miles today. Kovalainen, like I said, nonstop race simulations, maximum mileage. Giancarlo Fisichella did do a setup evaluation with Michelin, but he had a few problems too.
Yeah, well, between the two of them, they did over 250 laps.
Okay, but yeah, Giancarlo's car
did
have some technical difficulties, but. That's why we have testing.
But he got 120 laps in before he
exactly.
retired. So.
Exactly. And so Renault's looking pretty good. Honda looking really good.
Down in Bahrain.
And to be honest with you, the Ferrari didn't look that great in Bahrain.
I'm just looking at some times that I have listed for some of the teams down in Bahrain.
I think Jenson Button was on top.
Actually, this is showing Massa in a restricted V10.
Yeah, well, I don't count restricted V10s.
1 minute 30, Button in a Honda, V8, 1 minute 31, Luzzi in the RB1.
Luizzi. I'm not going to get into that again.
Sorry. 1 minute 31, that was in his in the V10 Cosworth. Rubens, 1 minute 31. In the Honda, Scott Speed in the RB1 with the restricted V10, 1 minute 32, and Shumi at almost a minute 33 in the 248. So they were at the end of the back of the pack.
Schumacher didn't run that well. I think they had some technical difficulties as well. Honda came out of this on top. So Honda is looking really, really good. Red Bull Racing fixed the problems? The cooling problems.
Oh, they got their cooling problems under control. Yeah, that's kind of important.
Yeah, it is. No, I was reading about it. They're pretty. They think they've got it under control.
That's until they put themselves on a hot... Are they going to be in Spain later in the week?
They are in Spain right now.
Okay.
They're in Valencia, I think, running with everybody else. Also, I was reading today more info on McLaren and Ferrari not doing very well. Apparently, the headline was another hectic day for McLaren with just nothing but problems. Norbert Hoggs coming out saying that he's not happy with the progress of the V8 and the team as a whole. And I can't tell if these guys are sandbagging or being honest, but I can't imagine McLaren being this far behind the pack. But now people are saying Renault, Honda, Williams.
Yeah, well, even Fernando Alonso says McLaren doesn't look very quick at the moment.
That's true. But Fernando, he was talking about some other teams too, wasn't he?
He talked a little bit about, he basically, the Renault, Honda, Ferrari in the mix, as the standouts in the Winter Championship.
I think Alonso admits that Honda is the one to watch.
Definitely. And then the complete statement is they don't look very quick at the moment, but I'm sure it will not be long and they will be winning races again.
Yeah, well, he's got to be optimistic. He's going there next year.
Then he says, hopefully they'll be good again for next year. I'm trying to decide if he's talking about this season or
no, he's talking
season.
About his season next year at McLaren. Also, going back to Bahrain, today they had a sort of a cool day. It was open to the public. And I heard it was very, very successful. I wish I could have been there.
Would have been fun, yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
Because I've never gone to a track where they're just testing. And I know a lot of Europeans get to do that, especially in Spain. At a number of tracks, Spain has at least 5 tracks that are really stupendous, and as well as Italy. And I'd love to go to one of those testing sessions. But anyway, they had an open to the public session today. Not huge crowds, but you know, in the thousands, and it was very, very good. Also, another team that came out with a new aero package, and they're thoroughly testing it. And we haven't really heard any details. Is Toyota? Toyota's been on the back burner. I haven't heard very much about Toyota.
Well, we saw the pictures of the package earlier in the week. Haven't heard much about it outside of that as to whether or not. And I haven't seen any times for them.
Well, that's because they went to Vallelunga in Italy, north of Rome. It's sort of an isolated track, but the weather is just freezing. And
it's got to be exceptionally cold.
Italy. Well, they didn't get much running. Ralf Schumacher said it was cold. They couldn't do anything. So, not much on the Toyota, even though they announced the new aero package a few days ago. I don't know why they went to this place in Rome. I think they wanted to be alone to assess the situation without giving out any secrets. And I think it sort of backfired on them, and they'll probably wind up in Spain next week. Also, the GPMA, very quiet.
Yes, I actually had... They were basically saying that they're not going to rise to Max's bait.
Exactly. That's what I was getting. Unusually silent. Suggests that they have more important things to do.
Like get ready for a season?
And they haven't even responded to any of the suggestions from Mac Mosley on what kind of funds they're going to get for being involved in F1 and their concerns over the Concord agreement.
Yeah, there was I've got one of my prints that we will not react to Mosley's comments, the GPMA spokesman on behalf of Mercedes-Benz, Renault, BMW, Honda,
exactly.
Toyota said. And then there are a couple
blurbs.
Yeah, he basically, and then they go and, you know, a couple of things from Max. You know, to make it work, we need to first get costs under control. And he's talking about imposing a freeze on engine developments between 2008 and 2010.
Right, okay.
You know, but denied that he is deliberately trying to provoke the already disgruntled car makers.
Well, he hasn't provoked them because, to be honest, he's generally provoked people like me.
Yeah.
We haven't heard anything from the manufacturers, and I'm sort of surprised, but they're probably doing the right thing. Also, going back to the cars, there's been some accusations that the STR... 01 looks too much like the RBR1. Last year's Red Bull. I've seen the side-to-side pictures, and they're almost identical except for the intake over the V10 for the RBR1 or the SDR1 is a bit smaller now because of the restriction on the V10. But I don't see how they're getting away with that.
The colors are different.
The colors are different. There's a few little differences, but technically, if you look at the car closely, it's the same chassis as Red Bull had last year. And the FIA rules are quite clear on this. They have to have a unique chassis.
So they must be getting around that some way.
I don't know.
Well, theoretically, if the RB2 is a significant step up from the RB1, then that might get them
technically
passed.
If it is, I agree. And not only that, but you have to admit, I think Max Mosley is very lenient on the smaller teams. I mean, Super Aguri being in the grid for 2006 shows how lenient he really is. And we have to mention that Super Aguri has confirmed their driver lineup.
Finally!
I think it's exciting. I think Desiree's going to have a little bit more about that later on in the program, so I'm not going to run over her material. But those shots of the, I call it the Arrows A23, what are they calling it? I can't remember. The RA05?
No, SA.
SA05, excuse me. I thought the pictures looked pretty good at the airfield in England.
Yeah, not a lot of detail.
Well,
pretty
it was
much
all,
long shots.
Well, when a car is painted all white, it's hard to get any detail even from good high-res photographs. But the fact that they took it out, ran it, didn't seem to have any problems. And lucky for them, they're running the Honda V8, which looks like is going to be fairly dependable. I think if Sato keeps his nose clean, they could do rather well.
Keeps his car on the track and doesn't bump people off.
Exactly. So very good for Super Aguri.
Should be interesting to see them down at Barcelona next week.
Exactly.
Actually running.
They'll be in Barcelona. Now, are they going to have two cars there or just one?
You know, I haven't seen anything that says
we've only seen one car.
Yeah, they may have another
by
one.
Next week, I think they will have.
There were only four or five of the Arrows cars left, weren't there?
Exactly. No, there's four cars.
And we know that one is probably destined for the crash bin.
You know, I don't know how they do that. I don't know if they were able to take the Arrows A23 crash data from 2002 and use that.
They may have been able to use some of it and determine whether or not, you know, if they, you know, passed with flying colors.
Exactly.
Back then and let them, you know, slide on any destructive testing.
Okay. Before we go to break, I real quickly want to mention that we'd like to welcome back Will from MyTriviaPodcast.com. He's going to provide us with another Formula One related question. We're going to play this question and give you the answer at the end of the podcast. If you guys like this new segment, let us know. Go to the website and go to the contact us page, and you can email any one of us and tell us what you think of the trivia. F1 Weekly listeners are going to be first in line to hear a special F1 related version from My Trivia Podcast. This is going to be a whole show dedicated to F1 trivia. It's going to be sometime next week on this podcast. The questions range from novice to expert level. So stay tuned for a special show. And I've heard a few things about it, and it's more expert than novice.
There's at least one novice question.
It's great stuff.
Followed F1 for any short period of time.
Absolutely. Will, thank you very much. Make sure everybody goes to mytriviapodcast.com. It's fun stuff, and you can have the children listen too. It's clean. There you go. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have Desiree from the California coast. She's going to give us an update on Honda and Williams and probably some good Super Aguri stuff.
Yeah.
Why the FIA is so lenient on Super Aguri.
She'll probably have something to say about McLaren, too.
Bravo. Well, of course. She's a McLaren fan. So anyway, stay tuned. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Check out the next episode of Road Racer Podcast, the podcast about amateur motorcycle road racing, AMA news, and interviews with motorcycle road racers. I'm your host, John Bunce, an amateur motorcycle racer. For more information, check out roadracerpodcast.com.
So here's today's F1 trivia. 25 countries have taken part in hosting Formula One races as part of the official F1 season. Now some countries, like the Netherlands, Switzerland, and Mexico, have only allowed one circuit to host their country's F1 races. Which country has the highest number of different venues or circuits to host their country's F1 races? Is it Italy, France, Spain, Great Britain, or the United States? I'll have the answer toward the end of the podcast.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host, joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Well, we just heard the question from the trivia, and very good stuff, and make sure you stay tuned.
Looking forward to that answer.
Make sure you stay tuned at the end of the show, and Will will give us the answer. Okay, well, we got Desiree on hold, calling from the beaches of Northern California on the Central Coast. Let's see if we can get her on the line. Hi, Desiree. How are you?
Hi, Clark. Hi, Steve. I'm wonderful. Thank you. Hello, F1Weekly.com listeners. Aloha.
How's the weather on the coast right now?
It is clear and windy and cold.
It is cold, isn't it?
Yes.
We're suffering out here in California right now.
It reminds me of the poor teams over in, they're testing in Spain, but the poor Toyota team in Italy.
At Vallelunga.
Yes, I was wondering how to say that. Yeah, they were freezing over there. They couldn't do much.
They probably just blew it off and went up and watched the Olympics.
Yes, I am. Yarno's into the Olympics.
He is?
Yeah, he last year he painted his helmet a special Torino paint scheme, in honor of the Olympics.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was the first one promoting it last year.
That's wonderful. So what do you got for us today?
Well, I wanted to say I thought it was great that you covered Catherine Legg getting a champ car ride, and also recognize the power of girl power.
I love girl power.
Girl power, that's why F1Weekly.com is hot on the same trend. Danica Patrick, Catherine Legg, Desiree. Good, I like it.
All right.
And as the F1 teams are going, I wanted to, because I listen to your podcast when I'm not in the podcast, and you were talking about Williams and Honda, and you said maybe have me look into it and stuff. And
I did.
Up on that. And the Williams is doing really great. They are not, overshadowing Honda. Honda's doing really well themselves. Honda did really well in Bahrain testing, and Button was just like milliseconds behind Massa, and he's doing great. They ran 242 laps without problems.
Yeah, and Massa was, I have to remind everybody, was driving the F2004 with the restricted V10.
Exactly, so he doesn't even count. So Button is, they were saying they have the moral victory over there in Bahrain. Even
I like that.
Technically. And so I don't know why the Honda gentleman was saying that Cosworth is ahead of them. Cosworth is doing great, but I think it's called false modesty is what I was deciding.
That's true.
Because I actually compared. I went and looked at the times for the last month, all the way from 118 in Jerez, and the times where the two teams were actually competing at the same time and testing at the same time, Honda was ahead of 4 to Williams 2.
Okay.
So I don't know. It's unfounded, I say.
Well, even Fernando Alonso today said that it looks like the Honda motor has the highest horsepower output of the teams.
Yes. And Mercedes-Benz McLaren, they are down in horsepower.
Exactly. I mean, from what I've been reading from Norbert Hogg, he's almost depressed.
He was all happy last week. I was reporting he was all happy.
Mm-hmm.
This week he's saying we're up against it.
Yeah, and to have that such a fancy livery and that reflective paint job and not be on the pace has got to be a big bummer.
Yes, he's not in charge of paint. He's in the Mercedes end of it.
I understand.
And sources were saying that Mercedes they've been cutting the revs back in the new engine in order to prevent blow-ups. And that's why maybe it's been short on the straight line speed.
Exactly. I heard they had another blow up either yesterday or the day before.
I knew that's what the Rev B was for.
Exactly.
Boom.
Yep. They were lowering the RPMs, and the engine, I read a quote that it's going at 17,500 RPMs as opposed to the 19,000 RPMs from the competitor. So
wow.
That is down a bit. So that is, yeah, he's kind of sad about it. But McLaren, on the other front, they're kind of getting into the Olympic spirit. They have upped their physical program. They have a new sponsor. It's called Direct Viz or something like that. It's a new sponsor, and they're going to be on the chassis and stuff. And they do dynamic well-being program. So that team is going to be having more fitness and well-being and diet brought into the team.
Wow,
and,
cool.
And this guy, Aki Hinsta, he's the chief of the Finnish Olympic Committee. He's the chief physician. And so this guy, Aki, is going to come over and work out the guys for McLaren. We know Juan Pablo could use a little workout.
Juan Pablo could use a little workout, you're
yes,
right.
And Kimi has to get a little healthier.
Well, Kimi just needs to stop nipping.
Yeah, a little bit less on the liquid diet.
Yeah.
And so this new sponsor is now, getting into the well-being and the
well, that's good.
Fitness and stuff. So, and this guy is leaving Torino at the Olympics and coming and working these guys out. So forget the Olympics. McLaren needs my help. He's coming in. So
excellent.
That's pretty cool.
Excellent.
And then, so Williams has been doing good today, but they had some problems. So Honda was saying that Williams is all that, but Weber was having some trouble. Alex Wirtz, the good old guy from, you know, that used to be in McLaren, he was having trouble. And Mark went off the track, and then he couldn't finish testing because there was lack of spares for his car.
I heard about that, but that was like a week and a half ago or so, right?
No, this was yesterday. Or
oh, today. Really?
This is the fourth day of the testing at Jerez.
Yeah.
This was today. Today is today, yes. and Alex was eighth fastest, so they were still having some technical problems.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's going to have a few technical problems, but...
Exactly. Even Honda, they haven't hardly had anything. Barrichello hasn't been going as fast as he'd like to, I'm sure.
One
thing that came out in the brain testing, I know you talked about Ferrari probably already, but Ferrari was tipping the fact that it might be the Bridgestone tires again that is lagging behind the Michelin.
I believe it.
Felipe Massa told the Gazzetta dello Sport newspaper in Italy that the team has, you know, a lot to do to match the pace of the Renaults and stuff, but they're saying that the estimates are that Bridgestone, if you're running the Bridgestones, you can lose 5 seconds over 20 laps.
Wow.
So that's no good.
No, that's no good. But I also heard that the car as a whole, as a package, the Ferrari 248 F1, is not up to what they expected it to be.
No, exactly. It's slower than its 2004 model.
Did you hear what happened to Schumacher in Bahrain?
Where he only did three laps or something, or 30.
Well, not only that, but you know he brings his dog with him wherever he goes.
Shiva's the name of the dog.
Yeah, and I guess he forgot to get permission to bring it in.
But he's Schumacher.
But exactly, so he didn't have too much trouble, and he took her for a walk. And
this big old dog, I heard, yeah.
Bizarre.
And since he wasn't riding and driving the car very much, I heard that...
He was walking his dog.
And also a little four-year-old boy ran into him and challenged Schumacher to football, and they played some football.
That's nice.
I know, Schumacher is keeping in shape. I also heard that he's bumping up his physical regime.
Well, he's always been very, very... athletic and physical.
Yeah, yes.
He works out a lot.
One of his failings in 2005, well, he probably wouldn't call it a failing. He'd be like, my not-so-strong feature, mm-hmm. you know how he is, was that he thought his physical condition was down a bit, mm-hmm. and that was one of his failings. And
okay.
So he's been working out, he's been seen with weights on his helmet, like how DC does to work out the neck and
mm-hmm.
stuff,
right.
Pumping up his physio. Like McLaren, everyone's in the workout spirit. Everyone's getting physical.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, so also, you, Super Guri?
That's just what I was going to go to.
Ah, collect me, think alike.
And I saw that some people are saying that the FIA are being quite lenient with Super Guri and let him slide.
Yeah, they let him slide. But I remember you were asking or talking to Steve about if they passed their crash test.
Exactly.
Yes, they have. Earlier this month, actually, a spokeswoman for the team confirmed to the website Pit Pass that the SA05 monocoque and associated structures has passed the FIA mandatory.
But how did they pass the crash test when they only had four A23 Aeros cars? Did they actually crash one of the four?
Well, yeah, they actually, the managing director, Danielle Adetto, said that they made modifications to the A23, and they made so many, which is the Aeros chassis,
okay.
So many modifications so it could pass the test that it bears very little resemblance to the original car.
Okay, all right.
So they had to do it. So
okay,
maybe there's only three of them now.
I thought the car looked pretty good from the pictures I saw at the Kemble Airfield in England.
Yes, exactly. And it was Takuma Sato drove it around, and let's see, at the Kemble Airfield in Gloucestershire is how you say it. And he's very excited to be behind the wheel again.
Well, not only that, but they finally confirmed.
They finally confirmed that it's Takuma Sato, and the other driver is Yuji Ide.
Ide?
Ide is how you pronounce it.
Thank you, because I was going Ide.
No, it's Ide. Growing up in Hawaii, there's a lot of Japanese people there of heritage, and so I'm pretty sure that is how you say it.
I believe you. It sounds it sounds good.
Ide is the youngster. He has only been driving. Ide is the runner-up in the Japanese Formula Nippon.
That's right.
That's who that youngster is.
So he's a very newcomer to F1.
Yes, he's like, I would like to thank Suzuki-san for giving me the opportunity to drive an F1. I drove an F1 car for the first time yesterday, and I was nervous but very excited.
Now, can you believe that he's just recently drove an F1 car, and he's going to be on the grid in about 3 weeks?
His first time in an F1 car.
I'm freaking out.
That's scary. You thought Takuma was, you know,
kamikaze.
That guy is nuts.
That is unbelievable, and I
probably a good thing they're running V8s.
But they're running pretty decent V8s, the Honda V8s.
The most powerful of
the
grid,
you know,
so to speak.
There were no problems.
Well, that worries me right there. I mean, that at least I hope they don't do well in qualifying and they're at the end of the grid, because I can't. I'm sure Ide is going to do fine, but the learning curve.
His first time, that's pretty bad. I mean,
it's pretty strange.
Scary. And since I recently got the 2005 Suzuka GP and watched it recently. Thank you very much for sending it to me, Clark.
You're welcome, Desiree.
The Speed Channel announcers were talking about the fact that, you know, Takuma was given the boot last year from being a Honda, you know, right before the Japanese GP, and the Japanese fans were in such a huge uproar that Honda had to promise them that they'd find a place for them in a Honda Power.
That's true. He does have a huge fan base.
Yeah, there was going to be, like, you know, a Japanese coup d'etat or something, so they had to promise them to keep them calm.
Yeah.
And so he couldn't go to Honda, so this is the other Honda Power team.
They had to start a completely new team just for him.
Just for him, pretty much.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. One thing that I found today, that Super Aguri has run and signed the new Concord agreement for 2008.
Okay, so he's on board with Max.
Yeah, he's on board with Max, which was shocking because this, you know, this team has the close ties with Honda.
And Honda is not.
Honda is GPMA.
Yep. Well, you have to remember, though, that in order for Super Aguri to get in, and the FIA's leniency on some of their questionable items on their agenda, you have to. I mean, there's got to be a little give and take here, and I'm sure Super Aguri was told, you sign here, we will sign off on this.
Uh-huh.
And it's just it's almost like a bunch of good old boys.
Yeah, exactly. So that's it. So they so that just kind of came out today, that they signed the agreement.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's fresh scoop there.
Excellent.
So that all is becoming clear. And then also following up on an item that you were talking about was Scott Speed, that the Brazilian driver with sour grapes was making comments about him, that he has a right due to being American.
Nelson Piquet Jr. was saying those things.
Piquet Jr. I wasn't sure which Brazilian driver.
Yeah.
That, you know, was like, is it Fittipaldi or?
Right, he's in GP2.
Yeah, Piquet Jr. Okay. Well, the American part, the part that he's American and has a right, actually might be true. I don't know if you remember back in 2003, they were running those commercials. Red Bull was doing a big promotion.
They were doing the search for the
next American F1
driver. That's true. And I think they sort of rushed it towards the end a little bit.
Back then, and so that's when Scott Speed got the attention of Red Bull, was back then.
Right. I think, was Eddie Cheever or Danny Sullivan involved in that as well?
I believe so, from what I heard, yes. But they were doing a competition when they were doing the search for the driver. So they were actually having a competition.
Correct.
And he caught the attention of Red Bull. And maybe he caught their attention because his name is Scott Speed. Well,
I have to admit, it is a pretty cool name.
I know. Loves it.
That's pretty funny stuff.
And so that's why he got on board with them. He was in the competition. They invited him to go further with their program. He ran some races in the the British F3 series, but because of his illness, he had to bow out for a while.
Okay.
Remember I talked about his illness?
You did.
I
don't want to hear about it this time.
No, but I'm not going to talk about it anymore. So that's why. And then he came back and did Formula Renault, and then he did the GP2, and then he did a little bit of the A1 series. So
he's been spending a lot of time in Europe.
Yeah.
And he was in Bahrain for the test for the STR01.
Yes.
So he's been traveling, and this young American,
yeah,
he's an F1.
Yeah, because there's no, like, real Formula Ladder here in America.
That's true.
So they had to recruit an American, but then he had to go over there to
exactly.
work his way. And then, yeah, and Moraine, he did 82 trouble-free laps. So he's doing okay.
Okay, well, great.
He's doing great. He's doing great. And then his buddy,
Liuzzi.
Liuzzi is right below Button in one of the fastest times in Bahrain.
So he's doing better than last year.
He's doing better than Barrichello.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I know Barrichello was touted as their new papa, but Liuzzi had the fastest time. If you do like the 4 days of testing, Liuzzi was right below Button.
Yeah. Do you think Barrichello made a mistake in going to Honda?
No, because, you know, he was tired of being the bridesmaid.
Yeah.
You know, he was tired of that, you know, so, and Honda's been treating him well.
They have.
But Button has just been taken off. Mansell, you know, the former driver,
mm-hmm.
yeah, he was saying that Button...
Nigel Mansell.
Yeah, that Button is...
He's
going to win now.
Yeah, because I think everybody's getting fairly impressed with the Honda progress.
Yes.
Their testing has been quite extensive,
yes.
and they just show nothing but quality progress. I mean, they're going forward, and I read that today. Nigel Mansell is tipping Jenson Button to win his first race this season.
Exactly. But I thought it was pretty wild that Liuzzi was right below him, and then comes Barrichello.
Wow.
And then comes Schumacher. So Liuzzi is doing better than Schumacher.
Yeah, well, Schumacher is not too happy with the car. I know he hasn't said too much. He's not one to speak out against the cars like Kimi Raikkonen is.
No, he does. He's a Ferrari man.
Yeah, he's a team player.
True red, so he doesn't say anything. He keeps it on the down low and minimizes everything like that, you know.
Yeah, to be honest with you.
He doesn't say anything, but Liuzzi is, you know, he's going for it, so I'm proud of him.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I am too, and I think that we're leading into the end of the Schumacher era this season.
Yeah, Ferrari's not helping. Bridgestone's not helping. Though I still see, like, every day I still see somebody saying, you know, Ferrari, you know, Schumacher can still do it. I'll see an article. I think Heinz-Harald Frentzen came out and said
yeah,
it.
I know. Well, Heinz-Harald Frentzen is very good friends with Schumacher. He used to be... H.H. used to date Schumacher's wife before they were married.
Yes.
So I hate to say it, but Mr. H.H. is a little bit biased. But I think this is the end of the Schumacher era. This is the last year we'll see Schumacher. I think Kimi Raikkonen is going to Ferrari next year. Alonso to McLaren. And I think Juan Pablo may... Now, what did you think about the article about Juan Pablo Montoya...
Yes.
Going to Renault.
Yes. Well, because, you know, you look at Renault's car, what do you see on the back?
Telefonica.
Telefonica. That's a Spanish, you know, Spanish-speaking sponsor. They want a Spanish-speaking person there.
Interesting.
I think it's true.
I just don't see Renault paying a Juan Pablo Montoya salary. Would you think Juan would take a cut in salary to be with Renault?
I think so.
Because,
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that taste of championship is so, you know, it's becoming more and more elusive for him as he gets older.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, he came to McLaren and Kimi kind of outshined him. So
yeah.
This is his chance to be in the spotlight again. You know, he didn't do that well with Williams and his teammate.
I agree.
Definitely taking along with Kimi.
Well, Juan Pablo won some races with Williams and with McLaren.
Yes, oh yeah. I mean, he won...
I like him as a driver.
Yes, but I think the McLaren, him going to Renault, I think is a possibility, and they're a big sponsor. I mean, they have
they have some power. You're right, especially since Renault is losing Mile 7.
Yes.
They have to up the ante now with Telefonica.
Mm-hmm.
And with Ghost saying that they're going to go on a year-to-year evaluation period to see if they stay in F1.
Yes, exactly.
So that's going to be hard to keep your sponsors, and if the sponsors want a specific driver, they might have to kiss the derriere and do it. I agree with you.
Exactly, just like Honda had to, you know, make a spot for Sato.
Correct, okay.
You know? No, I think that's true.
We're going into our wrap-up here, Desiree.
Okay, gentlemen.
What do you, got anything else good to say about any of the teams?
I kind of covered everything that I was looking at.
Okay.
A little here, a little there, a little schmidging everywhere. So I think that's pretty good. I think we've talked about it, and we have 1 month to wait now.
Exactly. Less than a month.
Less than a month. That's good news.
I'm getting F1 fever.
I get like, it comes in waves.
Yeah.
Where I get very, very excited. My heart used to get kind of, you know, sweaty or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start thinking, God, it's so far away. And I swing back the other way and stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm just glad to have the F1Weekly.com listeners and they have the show and stuff because it really keeps the F1 in my blood and keeps me somewhat warm in the cold nights here.
That's good. Well, okay, very good. Thanks.
Right.
Thanks, Desiree.
Thank you.
We're going to put you back on hold. Say goodbye to Steve and David.
Good night, Mr. Producer. Good night, Steve. Good night, F1Weekly.com listeners.
Good night, Desiree.
Good night, Desiree. Aloha. Okay, Desiree is gone. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
How far is the moon from the Earth?
Interested in trivia? Please tune in to My Trivia Podcast, a weekly podcast rarely more than 8 minutes in duration with 10 or more questions and answers of fun facts about topics such as science, geography, history, and there's even some audio thrown in. You can find My Trivia Podcast in iTunes, Podcast Alley, and other podcast sites, or you can go to www.mytriviapodcast.com. Hope to have you tuning in!
The moon is 250,000 miles away.
Hi, this is Steve with F1Weekly.com. Our podcasts are brought to you by Google AdSense and the Firefox web browser. The innovative Firefox browser makes surfing the web faster and safer with the included Google toolbar and features like autofill and spell check. It will make your browsing more convenient. Together, they'll change the way you surf the internet for free. Just click on the button on our homepage.
Welcome back. Thanks, Desiree. Now let's get to the trivia answer.
Well, here's your answer to today's Formula One trivia question. Italy and its municipalities have had three venues, Monza, Pescara, and Imola. Great Britain has had four, Spain, five, France, seven. And with the most? Well, that's the United States, with Riverside, Indianapolis, Las Vegas, Detroit, Sebring, Watkins Glen, Long Beach, Phoenix, and Dallas for 9 venues that the United States has hosted.
Well, we just heard the answer to our trivia question. Very interesting.
Very.
Thank you, Will, at mytriviapodcast.com. That was very interesting, and I would never have thought, I have to admit, I didn't know that answer.
Me neither.
Because I never really considered some of these places as venues, but they were. They were venues on that day when they raced in the parking lot at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. That was a venue for F1. But unbelievable. USA has the most. And once again, thanks a lot, mytriviapodcast.com. Keep up the good work, Will. We want more feedback on My Trivia Podcast segments. You can locate My Trivia Podcast on iTunes or visit them at www.mytriviapodcast.com. And please let us know if you like the trivia. I like it. I know Steve likes it. And we got to thank Will. Thank you very much. Keep up the good work. Real quickly, before we go to emails, I saw something from Alonso that I thought was pretty interesting. Alonso unimpressed by Rossi tests. Fernando Alonso apparently says that he's happy that Ferrari is testing Rossi because it distracts them from getting their cars ready for the race. He says, I'm glad because that means they have lost valuable time preparing the cars for the show. And he also says, until we see him race, we won't know his true potential, but it will be very difficult for him. So Alonso thinks it's great that Rossi's been testing, Steve.
But only because it's a detriment to
exactly
the Ferrari testing program.
People are calling it the first psychological blow of the season. So I thought that was glorious. But keep up the good work, Alonso. We're backing you up all the way. Okay, now we're going to go to Steve Faub, co-host, with some listener email.
Listener email. And our first mail tonight is from Shane in Melbourne, Australia. Hey guys, great podcast. Was just checking out the About Us section of the website and came across Faster by Jackie Stewart. UART. Did you mean Jackie Stewart? WART?
I made a mistake.
Yes, we promptly fixed that as soon as we were advised of it. And please, if you see something on the website that doesn't jive, let us know because, hey, we're just three guys doing a podcast. We're not web designers. Back to the mail. Then, thinking about Jackie Stewart reminded me of an American motor company with a blue oval badge that made a disaster of a move by switching from engine supplier to works team. Thinking of Ford has made me reminisce about the 94 season when Schumacher won the championship with a V8 Ford Z-Tech engine. That year, although not as powerful as the Renault V10 or the Ferrari V12, the Ford V8 had superior reliability and made the Benetton a light and nimble package. After that year, Benetton switched to the Renault V10, and I don't really remember what happened to the Ford V8s except to say that maybe they had a workout with Tyrrell or Minardi. The teams all discovered by the mid-90s that the V10 was the way to go. Now, however, there is the V8 rule, and Williams are looking for a manufacturer to supply them V8s in the coming years. What do you guys think of the sound of a Ford returning to Formula One to supply Williams with engines? Williams Ford? They're both blue and white companies. Alas, it may just be a dream. Anyway, keep up the great job. Shane in Melbourne.
I like it, Shane. I just want to comment real quickly on that, that Williams is running the Cosworth, and for me, a Cosworth is pretty as close as we're going to get to a Ford in F1 today. Ford is not going to come back in Formula One for a long time because of their financial difficulties in the United States.
Yeah, it was just 2 years ago that they completely divested themselves of their F1 assets.
They've laid off people at the Jaguar factory in England. I have heard rumors that Renault may be buying Jaguar because they need a luxury line. I think Ford wants to dump Jaguar, so we'll see what happens. But I like it, Shane. He brought up some good points.
I would like to see an American manufacturer in F1, just so there's an American manufacturer.
Well,
in F1.
Right, but now the economy in the United States is just not up to speed.
Well, yeah, the American manufacturers are all hurting big time. Next email from Mike Zimmerman in Cincinnati, Ohio. Clark, sounds like many of the U.S. listeners are looking for your recommendations for good seats and inexpensive seating as well. I have attended 4 Grand Prix at Indy and have sat somewhere different each year. One thing for your listeners to know is that your seat that you pay for race day, Sunday, is not where you have to sit on Friday and Saturday. You are able to sit anywhere and move freely throughout Friday practice and Saturday quali so that you can view the cars all over the course. One suggestion for those wanting inexpensive seats is to pay $60 for a weekend pass. That gets you into the track all weekend. You have no assigned seat on race day, but you can get there very early and sit on one of the mounds at turn 7, the turn into the back straight, or mounds at turns 8, 9. Both vantage points allow you to get fairly close to the cars, much closer than if you were in the stands. The drawback to these seats is that there aren't any monitors to watch action on the rest of the course, and that you have to get there pretty early to nail down a good place to sit. Just thought I'd provide another option for those wanting to attend and try to save a few dollars. I do agree with you that one of the best places to sit, at least for qualifying, is high up on the top deck above the final turn, watching them get in on it as they exit the infield section and make the final run to the line, pure exhilaration. Keep up the great work. Bahrain can't get here fast enough. Mike Zimmerman in Cincinnati, Ohio. Thanks, Mike.
Excellent.
Definitely another good bit of
insight.
Another
great tip, and he's right. $60 for a weekend pass. You don't get an assigned seat for the Sunday race, but I've walked over to those mounds on Saturday to watch some of the quali, and he's right. If you get your spot, it's a pretty good spot, but it does get crowded there on race day. But you cannot beat $60 for a weekend Formula One pass. Is absolutely unheard of anywhere else in the world. So please, everybody, take advantage of it. Pack up your gear, and we'll see you at the U.S. Grand Prix.
Yeah, you couldn't get a weekend pass for the Champ Car Grand Prix that we had in San Jose.
No.
You can't. I think it's $75 for the 3-day pass to the A1 GP at Laguna Seca that's coming.
Correct.
So talk about a deal.
It's a fantastic deal. And the services... There's a bathroom everywhere. U.S. Grand Prix is a great, comfortable place to see a race. Very civilized. Good food. Go, baby, go. Next email, Steve.
Next email. You left out one of the... this one is from Pat in New York. He said, you left out one of the best activities in Indianapolis when you were there for the F1 race. Go racing! Check out Whiteland Racing at whitelandraceway.com, which is owned by Bob Lee, who used to do color on ESPN's Thursday Night Thunder. It's just a few miles south of the city and well worth it. Beat sitting in some crowded bar, Pat, in New York.
That's a good suggestion, and that's the second time we have gotten the Whiteland Raceway suggestion. So apparently everybody go to that website, and Steve is probably going to try to put that link on our webpage, f1weekly.com, and everybody can get directions on how to get there, prices, and we'll see. But that's the second time we've gotten that suggestion for that race, that karting racetrack. So obviously, it's probably pretty entertaining.
Yeah, it's got to be at least fun.
Well, my second year at the U.S. Grand Prix, downtown Indianapolis had a karting track that was indoors. And unfortunately, they went out of business, and they're gone. So, very interesting. Thanks for the emails. We appreciate it.
Keep them coming.
Keep them coming. F1Weekly.com. You can click on the contact page, and you can email Steve, David, Desiree, or myself, the host of the program. So we're going to go slowly into our wrap-up. What do you think about the whole podcast today, Steve?
I think it's been going pretty well.
Yeah?
Except for my reading's been a little bit shaky.
That's okay. It's all that coffee you're gulping.
Yeah. All that caffeine. Just to be
excellent,
alert.
Excellent. Excellent. Anyway, we're going to talk about a couple of things here. We're going to go into our wrap-up. We have moved the Rate Our Podcast button to the front page. Make it easier for our listeners and our viewers that go to the website. You can also rate us through Podcast Alley. I just want to remind everybody, if anyone is interested in cross-promotion, other podcasters, other race websites, you can go through our podcast, f1weekly.com, our website, or contact us, info@f1weekly.com. Also, you can check us out on iTunes, Podcast Nova, Podcast Alley, and Yahoo Podcasts. We also want to say a special hello to one of our favorite emailers. We hear from this guy a lot, and he's a cool guy. His name's Nathan. Everybody knows Nathan. I'm sure all the other F1 podcasters know Nathan. But today was Nathan's birthday. Turned 16, old enough to get that driver's license.
Ooh, yeah.
So we just want to say happy birthday to Nathan.
Happy birthday, Nathan.
As a birthday gift, we put a couple of pictures of Nathan in our gallery page on the website, f1weekly.com. Go check it out. See Nathan. He's a pretty good guy, and he's fairly intelligent as well. So happy birthday, Nathan. Keep up the good work.
And he's apparently good friends with Takuma Sato and Jensen Button.
Yeah, apparently. I like it, though. He's got a lot of good enthusiasm. Thanks, Nathan, for all the emails, and keep it up. Also, we want to thank for some good comments to Total F1. It's a forum member, Auto Racer 5. Thanks for mentioning us. Keep up the good work, and keep sending us emails, and we'll probably always read them on the air. It's pretty rare when we don't read an email on the air. It's either because we don't have time, or there's a lot of cuss words in it. So if you keep them clean, they're going to be read on the air, even if it's negative. But we haven't been getting too many negatives.
No.
And we're still getting U.S. Grand Prix special emails. A lot of people have great ideas on attending the U.S. Grand Prix. I only had my own to offer. But please, folks, if you got more ideas on the U.S. Grand Prix, keep up the good work and send in those emails at f1weekly.com. That's it. I'm done for tonight. So thank you, listeners. Good night, Steve.
Good night, Clark.
Good night, Dave.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.